Okay, my friends. So today we are reading a story called How the Leopard Got His Spots. This is from the collection of Rudyard Kipling's Just So stories. They're a bunch of fables about animals that you might see in India or Africa or Asia, somewhere on the other side of the planet from where we live in the United States. But they're all very kind of funny stories because Rudyard Kipling was a very witty sort of writer. And we like that kind of stuff. So today's story is about the leopard. And you know what leopards look like, right? Mm-hmm. Well, they have got spots on them, right? Mm-hmm. I wonder how they got them. Let's find out. This is just a funny, possible story maybe, that he wrote up.
Maybe if you're swallowing a ladybug with all those
spots. Oh, that's exactly it. The leopard got his spots because he swallowed too many ladybugs. And they transferred their spots to him. Maybe you should write stories just like Rudyard Kipling.
Like little poems.
Like little poems. Well, he wrote those too. But let's get down to this one. So this story is read today by Mommy and... Who are you?
Baby Toad.
Baby Toad? That's a good one to pick. That's your jam right now, huh? So this story has some pictures. They're illustrated by Kathy Felstead, and I will post them on my Instagram so you can check it out. Are you ready? Mm-hmm. Here we go. In the days when everybody started fair, best beloved, the leopard lived in a place called the High Veldt. Remember, it wasn't the Low Veldt or the Bush Veldt or the Sour Veldt, but the exclusively bare, hot, and shiny High Veldt, where there was sand and sandy-colored rock and exclusively tufts of sandy, yellowish grass. Now the giraffe and the zebra and the eland and the kudu and the hartebeest lived there, and they were exclusively sandy, yellow, brownish all over, but the leopard was the exclusivest, sandiest, yellowest, brownest of them all. A grayish, yellowish, catty-shaped kind of beast. And he matched the exclusively yellowish, grayish, brownish color of the High Veldt to one hair. Now, this was very bad for the giraffe and the zebra and the rest of them because he would lie down in the exclusively yellowish, grayish, brownish stone or clump of grass. And when the giraffe or the zebra or the eland or the kudu or the buck or the bontebuck would come by, he would surprise them out of their jumpsome lives. And he would indeed. And also, there was an Ethiopian with bows and arrows, an exclusively grayish, brownish, yellowish man he was then, who lived in the High Veldt with the leopard. And the two used to hunt together. Now, the Ethiopian with his bows and his arrows, and the leopards exclusively with his teeth and his claws, until the giraffe and the eland and the kudu and the quagga and the rest of them didn't know which way to jump. Best beloved, they didn't indeed. Now, after a long time, things lived forever so long those days. They learned how to avoid anything that looked like a leopard or an Ethiopian, and bit by bit the giraffe began it, because his legs were the longest. They went away from the High Veldt, and they scuttled for days and days and days till they came to a great forest exclusively full of trees and bushes and stripy, speckly, patchy, blotchy shadows, and there they hid. And after another long time, what with the standing half in the shade and half out of it, and all that slippery, slidey shadows of the trees falling around them, the giraffe grew blotchy, and the zebra grew stripy, and the eland and the kudu grew darker, and with little wavy gray lines on their back like bark from a tree's trunk. And so, though you could hear them and smell them, you could very seldom see them. And only when you knew precisely where to look. Wow, in the picture. Boy, it sure is really hard. Can you see any of those animals? Can you see them? I can see. Here's the giraffe. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And this must be the zebra. And here's the kudu. Do you see?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And here's one.
Yeah. Very good. It must be the eland. Mm-hmm. Now, they had a beautiful time in the exclusively speckly spickly shadow of the forest, while the leopard and the Ethiopian ran all over the exclusively grayish, yellowish, reddish high veld outside, wondering where all their breakfasts and their dinners and their teas had gone. And at last, they were so hungry that they ate the rats and the beetles and the rock rabbits and the leopard and the Ethiopian. They had had this big tummy ache, both of them together. And then they met Bavian, a dog-headed, barking baboon, who's quite the wisest animal in all of South Africa. Now, said leopard to Bavian, and this was a very hot day, "Where is all the game gone?" And Bavian winked because he knew, and said the Ethiopian to, now do you know where, first let me pause, do you know where Ethiopia is? Yeah, it's in Africa. This is all happening here. It's kind of South Africa, okay? Said the Ethiopian to the Bavian, "What is the present habitat of the aboriginal fauna?" And that meant that just the same thing, but the Ethiopian always used long words because he was a grown-up. So where is all the game gone? Where are all the animals? Because he's a grown-up. He knows what to say. He's got the big words, right? Well, the Bavian winked because he knew. And then the Bavian said, "The game has gone into other spots. And my advice to you, leopard, is to go into other spots as soon as you can." And the Ethiopian said, "That is all very fine, but I wish to know whether the aboriginal fauna has migrated." And then the Bavian said, "The original fauna has joined the aboriginal flora because it is high time for a change. And my advice to you, Ethiopian, is to change as soon as you can." Now that puzzled the leopard and the Ethiopian. Do you know what that means? Do you know what it means to be puzzled?
Yes.
What does that mean?
To be confused.
That's correct. And they were confused, but they set off to look for the aboriginal flora. And presently, ever so many days later, they saw a great high, tall forest of tree trunks that were exclusively speckled and spotted and sprottled and dotted and slashed and splashed and hatched and cross-hatched with shadows. And that, say that quickly aloud, and you will see how very shadowy this forest must have been. "What is this?" said the leopard, "that is so exclusively dark and yet so full of tiny little pieces of light?" "I don't know," said the Ethiopian, "but it ought to be the aboriginal flora, because I can smell giraffe and I can hear giraffe, but I can't see giraffe." "That's curious," said the leopard. "I suppose it's because we have just come out of the sunshine. I can smell zebra and I can hear zebra, but I can't see zebra." "Wait a bit," said the Ethiopian. "It's a long time since we've hunted them. Perhaps we've forgotten what they look like." "Oh, fiddle," said the leopard. "I remember them perfectly on the high veld, especially their marrow bones. Giraffe is about 17 feet high and of exclusively fullest golden yellow for head to heel. And zebra is about 4.5 feet high and of exclusively gray fawn color from head to heel." Said the Ethiopian, looking at the speckly, spickly shadows of the aboriginal flora forest. "Then they ought to show up in this dark place like ripe bananas in a smokehouse." But they didn't. See, the leopard and the Ethiopian hunted all day, and though they could smell them and hear them, they never saw one of them. But we can see them in the picture, my friends. There is a hidden, what is that?
Eye.
Yes, a hidden zebra, I think. Wouldn't you think? Mm-hmm. Based on the stripes? Oh, for goodness sake, said leopard at tea time. "Let us wait until it gets dark. This daylight hunting is a perfect scandal." He's having a hard time. So they waited until dark, and the leopard heard something breathing sniffily in the starlight that fell all stripy through the branches. And he jumped at the noise, and it smelt like zebra, and it felt like zebra. And he knocked it down and licked and kicked it like zebra, but he couldn't see it. And so he said, "Be quiet. Oh, you person without any form, I am going to sit on your head till morning, because there is something about you that I don't understand." So presently he heard a grunt and a crash and a scramble, and the Ethiopian called out, "I've caught a thing that I can't see. It smells like giraffe and it kicks like giraffe, but it hasn't any form. Don't trust it," said the leopard. "Sit on its head until the morning, same as me. They haven't any form, any of them." So they sat down on them hard till bright morning time. And then leopard said, "What have you at your end of the table, brother?" And the Ethiopian scratched his head and said, "It ought to be exclusively a rich, fulvous, orange tawny from head to heel. It ought to be giraffe, but it's covered with these chestnut blotches. What have you at your end of the table, brother?" And the leopard scratched his head and said, "It ought to be exclusively a delicate grayish fawn, and it ought to be zebra, but it's covered all over with black and purple stripes. What in the world have you been doing to yourself, zebra? Don't you know that if you were on the high veld, I could see you 10 miles off, but you haven't any form?" "Yes," said the zebra, "but this isn't the high veld. Can't you see?" "I can now," said the leopard, "but I couldn't at all yesterday. How's it done?" "Let us up," said the zebra, "and we will show you." So they let the zebra and the giraffe get up, and zebra moved away to some old thorn bushes where the sunlight fell all away, and the giraffe moved off to some tallish trees where the shadows fell all blotchy. "Now, watch," said the zebra and the giraffe, "and this is the way it's done. 1, 2, 3. Now, where is your breakfast?" Well, the leopard stared, and the Ethiopian stared. All they could see were the stripy shadows of the blotched shadows of the forest, and they never saw a sign of zebra or giraffe. They just walked off and hidden themselves in the shadowy forest. Hi, said the Ethiopian. "That's a trick worth learning. Take a lesson by a leopard. You show up in this dark place like a bar of soap in a coal shuttle." "Ho, ho, ho," said the leopard. "Would it surprise you very much to know that you show up in this dark place like a mustard plastered on a sack of coals?" Well, maybe we don't understand what those two visuals are. So a bar of soap is usually what color? Yeah, light colors like yellow or white or pink or something like that. Mm-hmm. But a coal, do you know what coal colors are? What a coal color is?
Black.
So would you see...
Black or dark colors?
Yeah. Like, yep, black. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so what the Ethiopian man is saying to the leopard is, "You're easy to see because you're light colored." And the leopard turns around and says, "Same to you, buddy. Because here we are in the dark and everybody can see you." "Well, calling names won't catch dinner," said the Ethiopian. "The long and the little of it is this. We don't match our backgrounds. So I'm going to take the Bavian's advice. He told me I ought to change. And as I have nothing to change except my skin, I'm going to change that." "What to?" said the leopard, tremendously excited. "To a nice working blackish brownish color with a little purple in it, maybe a little touch of salty blue. It'll be the very thing for hiding in hollows and behind trees, because they're in the jungle, right?" Mm-hmm. So he changed his skin, and there the leopard was more excited than ever, because he'd never seen a man change his skin before. "But what about me?" he said, when the Ethiopian had worked his very last little finger into a nice, fine, beautiful black skin. "Well, you should take the Bavian's advice, too. He told you to go into spots." "Oh, So I did, said the leopard. I went into other spots as fast as I could. I went into this spot with you, and a lot of good it's done me. Ugh, said the Ethiopian. Bavian didn't mean spots in South Africa. He meant spots on your skin. Oh, what's the use of that? Said the leopard. Think of giraffe, said the Ethiopian. Or if you prefer stripes, think of zebra. You find their spots and stripes give them perfect satisfaction. Said the leopard. I wouldn't look like zebra. Not forever, so. Well, make up your mind, said the Ethiopian, because I'd hate to go hunting without you, but I must if you insist on looking like a sunflower against a tarred fence. I'll take spots, then, said the leopard, but don't make them too vulgar big. I wouldn't want to look like giraffe, not forever so. I'll make them with the tips of my fingers, said the Ethiopian. There's plenty of black left on my skin still, so stand over. And then the Ethiopian took all of his five fingers close together, and there was plenty of black left on his brand new skin still, and he pressed them all over the leopard, and whenever the leopard, wherever the five fingers touched, they left little black marks all close together, and you can see them on any leopard's skin you like, best beloved. And sometimes the fingers slipped, and the marks got a little bit blurred, but if you look closely at any leopard now, you will see that there's usually about five spots off five fat black-tipped fingertips. Now, you are a beauty, said the Ethiopian, and you can lie out here on bare ground and look like a heap of pebbles, or you can lie out in the naked rocks and look like a piece of pudding stone, and you can lie on a leafy branch and look like sunshine sifting through the leaves, and you can lie across the center of a path and look like nothing in particular, and think of that, and purr. If I am all this, said the leopard, why didn't you go spotty too? Oh, plain black's best for me, said the Ethiopian. Now come along, and we'll see if we can't get even with Mr. 123 Where's Your Breakfast. And they went away, and they lived happily ever afterwards, best beloved, and that is all. Oh, now, and then you will hear grown-ups say, can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? And I don't think even grown-ups would say such a silly thing if they knew that the leopard and the Ethiopian hadn't done it once. Do you? Uh-huh. Because they will never do it again, best beloved. And they are quite contented as they are. And I would like to point something else out now that we have finished this story. And it is this. We know that that is, of course, a very, very fun story, but it is not a true story. We know that you are created with the skin that you have. It's not something that you can just change your colors, and neither can anyone else or anything else. There, everything is made as it should be, and it is perfect as it is, and beautiful as it is. Just the way you are is how you are meant to be. And it's what makes you wonderful. And I wouldn't change a thing about you. And that, my friends, is the end.